On voit que les États-Unis sont l'un des plus grands pays musulmans de la planète.
Freedom means freedom for everyone. Many of you know one of my daughters is gay. People ought to be free to enter into any kind of union they wish.
If Dr. Tiller is not here to serve a woman's right to choose, who will be here to do it?
Thank you, Dr. Tiller, for allowing me to have a choice with my reproductive health.
It is not something to rejoice in when someone is killed, even if he or she is an abortionist.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love issues, etc.
But some might say it's about product satisfaction.
My in-laws were in town this weekend. Their old van broke down. They had to buy a new one. They went to the used car place near our house, and they spent the better part of Monday morning driving back and forth. They were test driving the thing. That's all they were doing. They'd bring in one van. They'd show it to us. We looked at the interior. They'd drive it around. Did it have all the things they wanted? Were they really going to be happy with this in the long run? They didn't want to make a purchase like that. No one does. That kind of a commitment without a test drive to begin with, to make sure that everything works, and to make sure that as you look off into the future, you're really going to be happy with this in the long run. You're going to be able to stay committed to it for the long run. A lot of people look at marriage that way too. I mean, it makes perfect sense. If you test drive a car, why shouldn't you test drive a possible future spouse? Live together for a while. See if you're compatible. See if you're really willing to make that kind of a commitment. The logic seems impeccable. We're going to be talking about cohabitation, living together, for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. It's Tuesday afternoon, June the 9th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. First, a discussion of cohabitation with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, then a conversation on the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Pastor George Borghardt will be our guest. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. I said before that the logic seems impeccable. Some would assert that if more people began by living together first, then maybe so many marriages wouldn't end in divorce. How do you respond?
Well, that's a great idea, except the facts prove otherwise. There have been about 30 years' worth of social science research done on the subject of cohabitation, and it turns out that people who live together prior to getting married actually have a higher rate of divorce than those who do not live together prior to marriage. And those who live together with more than one person, multiple serial cohabitors, you might say, you live with your boyfriend in college, then you break up, and then you have a boyfriend while you're having your first job, and you move with them and so forth. If you have two or three or four different guys that you live with before you get married, your chances of a happy marriage go down with every one. So the idea that you're somehow doing a test drive and sorting out the good guy from the bad guy, that turns out absolutely not to work in practice. And your test drive analogy is actually part of the problem.
How is that?
Well, I mean, it sounds so compelling the way you set the thing up. You know, well, gosh, my in-laws wouldn't buy the car without test driving it, and everybody thinks, yeah, that's exactly right. We have to figure out whether this is really going to work for us, so what better way than to play house for a while? The problem is that the car doesn't have any feelings about being dumped back at the lot if you decide not to buy it. But the fact is that human beings attach to one another. We get attached to our sex partners, whether we like it or not, whether they're good for us or not, we biologically get attached to our sex partners, and so therefore if it turns out that you really aren't the one and the other person decides you aren't the one and they dump you at the lot, well, you're going to feel bad. And the prospect of being dumped and how that's going to feel, it turns out that colors the whole relationship. That shapes all of the ways that you interact with one another, because you're always mentally thinking, well, maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day that he decides that I'm not the right one. Maybe today's the day that I've decided that I've had enough of him, you know, however way it might go. So that the test drive analogy works great if you think of yourself as the person driving the car. It is terrible analogy if you think of yourself as the car. Nobody wants to be the car, you know. Nobody wants to be the object that's being used and being test driven. And that's the reason that the analogy really completely falls apart.
So where do you think this, leaving the analogy aside, where do you think the mind, especially in our culture, changed from, you know, if you want to test drive a partner, it's called dating.
Right.
To, if you want to test drive a partner, it's called living together and engaging in a full sexual relationship and sharing bills and bank accounts and all those things, all without marriage.
Well, I think it started in the late 60s, early 70s. I mean, I can more or less remember when it happened, you know, because when I was that age, I did it. I moved in with somebody, and then I ended up marrying that person. It ended up to be a disastrous first marriage, as happens to a lot of people. But the reason it seemed plausible is, first of all, because we had contraception. I mean, if you didn't have contraception in the background, it would never enter your mind to take that kind of a risk, you know. So the whole idea that sex can be divorced from procreation means that sex can be divorced from serious commitment. And so therefore you make a more half-hearted type of commitment, which is what cohabitation amounts to. You make a more half-hearted type of commitment because contraception allows that and makes that possible in a way that would just be unthinkable if you were seriously concerned that each and every act of intercourse might produce a child. You know, you just wouldn't take that kind of risk.
Steve is calling from his car. Steve, thanks for waiting.
Hey, not a problem. Two thoughts that come to mind using your car analogy. First of all, if we take this mindset of a car, basically it's a consumerism mindset, and aren't we devaluing the other person to becoming an object for our enjoyment? The second thought occurred to me is when you have that type of mindset, it's in the sales world, we have a transactional view of sale, a relationship with our customer, and a relationship view of how we interact with the customer. It's a transactional mindset to say, well, I'll give it a test drive and see how I like it. But when hard times come, what do? You're out of there. And think about how many marriages break apart when the tough times come, and that relationship was not built on something other than the physical or the convenient.
Hey, Steve, that's a great point. Those are both great points. Thanks for calling. And I really totally agree with your first point. And in a sense, the car analogy makes it very clear that you're viewing the other person as an object, which a car is an object. So it's perfectly okay to test drive an object. But another person is another person. And, you know, granted that men get attached to their cars, we get attached to our sex partners at a deeper, deeper level than we do even to a guy getting attached to his Camaro or whatever. So the idea that you should treat another person like they're an object that you can discard if you're dissatisfied with, you know, that's not right. It's dehumanizing to treat another person like that. And also, if you think about it, Steve, it's a misunderstanding of the whole sexual relationship, because it's treating the sexual act as if it were, you know, going out for Chinese or going bowling or something like that. It misunderstands the very deeply personal, intimate nature of the sexual act itself. Sexual act used to be called the marriage act. You know, remember people used to call that? I mean, I suppose I'm really dating myself by saying this, but it used to be called the marital act. And why? Because people understood that the act of sexual intercourse was bringing two human beings together at the deepest possible level of the one flesh union that the Bible talks about, that you're doing something together that's not simply not possible to do with an object or with another person or, you know, by yourself. Really requires you to have another person at the deepest, deepest possible level. That's what the marital act really is. And so to treat the sexual act in such a casual way as we do is really a way of degrading the other person and degrading sex itself. So I think that's a very good point that you're bringing up, that in point of fact, the modern world doesn't appreciate sex enough. It is, ironically, and perhaps surprisingly, the religiously orthodox people who take sex seriously by assigning such great meaning to it. And it's not even that we assign great meaning to it. It's that we recognize the deep meaning that is actually there in the sexual act.
We have to
kind of anesthetize ourselves in order to treat it casually.
I've got about 30 seconds here. I got to know, because we were wondering as we were prepping for this conversation. It's one thing for men to buy into the cohabitation myth. Why have women bought into it? 30 seconds, Jen.
Well, partly because the reality of widespread contraception and abortion means that women are expected to put out sexually, and that if a woman does not agree to have sex on the first or second date, she has to offer an account of herself. She's a freak. There's something wrong with her. And so cohabitation, oddly enough, in some ways protects women from the most predatory forms of oversexed activity that's out there. And so some women kind of gravitate toward it because at least then they have somebody who cares about them somewhat, rather than being out and part of the single scene all of the time. So it's one of those unanticipated consequences of the sexual revolution.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute. You can find out about the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to stay on the same subject, kind of, and extend it into our conversation on the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Pastor George Borghardt will be our guest. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943.